Hello, Jennifer. We meet in a new forum.
Hey, how are you today?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's the Folio Forum. Wait, are you on Product Council?
No, I'm on Discovery subcommittee, so
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I'm a guest today.
Oh, well, welcome. Normally there's more people now, but I don't. We're still waiting. Yeah, how's it going for the discovery?
We're getting rolling. Still finding our footing a little bit, but looking forward to being a little more engaged and making things happen.
Yeah. I know. Well, we have EDS right now, so the new UI, so yes, going through that process.
Always an adventure.
Oh, it certainly is. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hey there, I'm doing an audio test. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
We upgraded to Windows 11 and my audio is just all messed up. So let me just check. Does that help at all? Testing.
It sounded fine before. It sounds the same.
Great. I've got your audio coming out of my speakers, and hopefully you're getting my microphone because it's very echoey in here. Okay, great. Good morning, everyone. Alexis, thank you so much for holding down the fort. Jeremy is still out today, so I'm going to run us through what has turned out to be a pretty packed agenda. So in the event that we start running low on time, we might need to take a few things for next week. Alexis, thank you for putting it in the chat.
Do you have
All
somebody to
right.
take notes? Do you want me to take notes?
Yeah, actually, could you take notes?
Sure.
That'd be great. I often like to take notes while I'm speaking, but it doesn't always work out.
I can't do that. I cannot multitask. I have determined that about myself and accepted it.
Sometimes it's helpful for me to see things being written on the screen as we're working, things that we've decided or something, but let's not try that today. Okay, so quick welcome and announcements. I didn't see any new announcements on Slack. Did anyone have anything to share here today?
Just for WolfCon, there is still time to register, and we have, group rates for the hotel. So definitely, as I've been told, the Westin at Crown City, Kansas City, anywhere, wherever the hotel is, it's very nice. There's a waterfall in there, so definitely stay there. And well, that is it, I think, for the conference.
Thank you. Anyone else? Let's see. So, Tri-Council meeting, we're going to repurpose this meeting slot next week for the Tri-Council meeting. I've had to move a couple things around as a result, but I think it's totally fine. SIG reports were due today, and I sent out the reminder quite late. We had a little chat about that on Slack. Jennifer, I think you had something specific that you wanted to say about that. Or was it Charlotte?
Yeah, I was just wondering, well, actually two questions. I know Kristen is no longer on with PC, unfortunately. But normally she would do the announcements and all of that. I was just, did we have someone who replaced her for doing that work, or was that still open?
We do not. Are you volunteering?
Sure, I can volunteer for this year. Yeah, I'll just put it in my calendar to remind me. And then another question, because I know, there a lot of people just go on vacation during the summer. Should we kind of halt the SIG reports, like, maybe do less in summer or something like that? I'm just wondering, especially like August, like July and August. I mean, yeah, I'm here I am. I'm advocating for us to do less work. Yeah. Come on, let's do it.
What do folks think about that? I see some emojis. Any additional thoughts?
I wonder if we maybe should only do this every other month because so many SIG meetings are being canceled. So, doing a report for maybe one meeting, then it's maybe it's a little overwhelming. And yeah.
I think that that's a really good point. And I'm going to request if we can pause the SIG conversation and come back to it, because there are a couple other things that we're going to talk to about today that I think might intersect. So I'm going to put a note to save some time to come back to a resolution on SIG meetings once we've talked about meeting summaries and stuff. SIG report every other month. All right, Alexis, thank you for adding your update from the community council meeting. You want to talk us through that real quick?
Sure. So if anybody's interested, click on the notes, and there are links to three presentations, three write-ups. The folks who did the write-ups gave little presentations, talked about sort of these ideas. They're very much just sort of, I don't know that those specific proposals are necessarily anything that we would move forward with, but they were sort of ways to generate ideas and get people to give feedback on how we want to move forward with this common understanding of challenges and possible solutions for community engagement. So, sorry, for ch core challenges facing regarding community sustained software development. So there's like this the there's the develop the what we think of as the straight up development part of it, and then there's also like the maintenance, which is a big issue. So anyway, take a look at that. My guess is it's going to be a topic at the Tri-Council meeting next week, but I'm not sure. I don't know if they've started the agenda for that yet. I can check. But anyway, if not at the Tri-Council meeting, I'm sure it's going to be an issue, something that we're going to be talking about at WolfCon.
Okay, great. I do think we're going to be talking about it some at the Tri-Council meeting. Is there anything? So maybe we should review these presentations ahead of that to see if we have questions. Is there anything else we can do to kind of catch up with this? Is that
I don't
good?
think so. I think that's probably good. There's also that shared doc of the feedback that folks, that members of the community council and anybody else who's at the meeting was given the opportunity to also write down their three challenges and possible solutions. And
Excellent.
we did it in the meeting, which was nice because I said to Tom after, I was like, it was smart to have it done in the meeting because like often, you ask people to do it after and then they get busy and they forget or whatever. So I think most people did, at least the folks who were at the meeting did contribute.
Excellent. All right, so people have those links here, and I'm sure be talking about during the community or the, sorry, the Tri-Council meeting next week. Thanks for that update, Alexis.
Can I suggest that we, as the PC, read these suggested documents for this community-driven development within the scope of how can we also get prioritized work? So the list we are doing on behalf of the six, how can we help that moved forward? And because it's kind of one of the pieces in the solution for to get work being aftersolved by the six developed.
That's a great suggestion, Charlotte. It really feels like everything's kind of converging right now. So we'll be sure to read those documents. And Jeremy and I are presenting, we're supposed to give a status update on community prioritization. And he's going to give a quick update on where things stand with community driven development. And so I expect to have a really good conversation about this at the Tri-Council meeting. All right, we're ready to move on to a little housekeeping. Mosaic endorsement. Thank you, everyone, for getting in there quickly. I came back from leave and was a little late getting that call out. We're missing one vote, but we are overwhelmingly getting thumbs up on this one. So I expect to have that finalized this week. And we'll get to move the little JIRA ticket. New template. So we've started, we're now like I think 3 meetings into having a standard agenda for this meeting. And after our last meeting I was at, I created this new notes template. I think a couple of people said they had some feedback on it. I wonder if we could quickly just cover that here. It's also something we can do offline.
I have a quick suggestion, and that is so I see the notes are being in a now you have a more wide screen, but in on my screen it would be a very narrow column. Maybe we could collapse so time, item, presenter. Maybe it could be item and then presenter, and then we just put the time in a parenthesis under. So then we have only three columns instead of four, because it's like it's, yeah, take
That
up a
makes
lot
great
of
sense.
real estate on the screen with just blank.
Yeah, and that is a common thing that I need reminders about because I'm one of those people where like I can't think if I don't have a ton of monitors to look at. I have a really hard time working on my standard laptop, so I tend to forget about those things. So thank you. I will make that change. Also, in the realm of housekeeping, I wanted to let you know this is kind of coming together. But the Tri-Council chairs are talking about maybe having a community newsletter. Vehicle, format, distribution are all kind of to be defined. But what we agreed to do was start flagging topics that we would want to put in a newsletter and maybe put together a prototype. And then from there, talk about what's the best way to distribute this? How are we going to do it? So starting today in this conversation, I'd like to take a minute when we talk at the end of the meeting about upcoming topics and things for our next meetings to also flag things that might go in a newsletter. Given the packed agenda today, we can continue further conversation about newsletter. If you have ideas or thoughts about that, we can do that on Slack. I also wanted to run this by you. We've had a couple of people take notes using AI in recent meetings, and the summaries have been helpful. I think we still need a person to review the notes and make sure that the right things are highlighted. But I wanted to ask how folks feel about turning on the AI summary feature in Zoom for this meeting. If anyone has concerns about that, you can let me know via Slack or raise it right now. Otherwise, I'm going to work with Peter to turn that on after this call. I see Peter's here.
Yeah, I don't know that I have a concern about turning it on, but I really, really want to stress that if people use it, they got to read through it and pick out the things, because I don't know if anybody else has had this happen, but like when I read AI summaries, like if there's a list of things that need to be done, they only do like the top two. They only include the top two, or they don't highlight the thing. Like it doesn't know what we know is going to be the most important thing, like you said. Like I think it's helpful to kind of get information down, but it's not going to be complete, and it's not going to have, it's not going to know what we know, right? So I think we can use it, but we need to be really cautious and really like we can't rely on it so much that we're not using our own brains to make it. It's a tool. It's not. Yeah, I think Charlotte's gonna disagree with me, but like I am that's which is fine. I'm very on the fence with this in general. Like I think it can be helpful, but we can't rely on it so much that we're not contributing to the to the actual, intellectual content.
I agree completely, and I think Charlotte does too.
I do totally also, and I will say that I have seen so many AI-generated meeting notes that was looking good on the surface, but underneath it simply didn't grasp the content and what was said. And I have been quoted for saying exactly the opposite of what it noted me for saying, and I have also, seen meeting minutes where it was not here in library because we are not dealing with, we're de dealing with library stuff. Nothing is hurtful for animals or people, but I've seen something that has been totally way out. So I think we should use it cautious and. I'm not quite sure if it makes the meeting note easier to write the meeting notes. If you get so much text looking very perfect, but it is rubbish in the content. So may that may be the old-fashioned way where we are synthesizing what is being talked about. We know what's being talked about, and we then capture the best is to go forward. So I'm no big fan at all.
I agree completely with that. I think that the synthesis is important, and suggesting it here, I see it more as an experiment and possibly a kind of a boots what's it belt and suspenders kind of a thing to make sure that we have two ways of capturing the information. If it's okay with folks, I'd like to go ahead and try turning it on, but continue to work with our group of note taking. And we can see what we learn from it. For today, I forgot to put the directions to how to subscribe to the PC calendar. I'll put that into our chat. But just wanted to remind people that it's possible to get it onto your Outlook or your G Suite or whatever your institution uses. And I think there might be some interesting things that we can do with that this year. I wanted to kind of get people looking at it before we go into WolfCon. I'd like to come back to meeting summary and switch over to community priorities right now so that we have can be sensitive to the time of our guests today from the Discovery SIG. Community priorities in general, I think the last conversation that we had was really useful. And what I took away from that is that having a dashboard of top fives from across the community is a useful tool in itself and maybe a good focus for us right now. We do have a subgroup formed and have started work on creating a rubric and some definitions for some of the terms that we said we would use in that rubric. I'm going to be circulating those for feedback in coming weeks. But for right now, another takeaway from the last meeting was that we needed to coordinate with the product owners. And so I reached out to the product owners and I'm going to go to their meeting next week. to talk a little bit, just like kind of read them in on community priorities and see what feedback they have. In the meantime, we do have a couple of sorry, I was distracted by chat. Agreed, Charlotte. We will come back to that. I think probably on Slack. So for community priorities, we are going to we have a couple of SIGs now scheduled to come chat with us about their top five. This is going to be our first one. I'd like to kind of feel this out, see what we learn, and take that into account as we plan our next steps with the community priorities dashboard. Any further notes on community priorities before we open it up to our guests? If not, I think we have both Damien and Nicole here to talk to us a little bit about development priorities.
Yeah, can you hear me okay, Caitlin? And we have a number of members, seeing Barnes and Tammy as well as Damien from the Discovery SIG here, which is great. Thank you all for joining, and feel free to join in as I talk. So I'm Nicole Trujillo. I'm the convener of the Discovery SIG. And yeah, so we've put our top, I think we just filled out priority four in there, JIRAs. I was looking at them this morning. A large amount are dealing with requests and trying to do better at that. Do you want us, how do you want to conduct this? I was kind of curious. Do you have questions? Do you want to look at it together? Oh, Caitlin, you're muted.
So if you could just, I think different people have different levels of exposure to discovery. And since you guys are new, if you could just walk us through these top five, and then maybe people from the group can ask questions after. Just a quick, make sure everybody understands what these features are and why they're important to you right now.
Sure. And actually, Damien, if I could reach out to you, since Damien does a product owner with Viewfind and has actually submitted a large amount of these tickets and provided feedback. If you'd like to kind of go into what these mean for discovery, that would be really helpful.
Sure thing. We've had lots of discussions with the community about discovery needs and talked to different discovery providers and so forth. And so we've identified these few issues as sort of performance and functionality gaps that could use some attention. This top one here, UX Prod 4805, is actually a ticket that I opened addressing the fact that right now you have to renew things one at a time, and that can be very slow. And it would be great if there were some way to do that in batch. I think there are some other tickets linked to this one, but we thought it would be helpful to start at the bottom and work our way up because obviously you can't do batch renewal without an API to do batch renewal. And then the second one, UX Prod 2422, and I don't know if that's the best ticket, but it captures at least part of the puzzle. Is that currently it's hard for discovery systems to know which items can have requests placed on them without actually placing those requests. And there are situations where it's nice to be proactive and, not present the user an option that will fail. So we're looking again for some functionality to apply the circulation rules ahead of time and find out what's legal and what's not. Number three is sort of related to that, knowing what's renewable and what's not. So again, we don't give users a renew button that when they press it says you can't do that. Number four here is about sorting of item records. The order in which items are returned can be very important, and there are a lot of different preferences about this. Different institutions use volume and enumeration fields in different ways. And right now, the items come out of the Folio API in a sort of arbitrary order, or you can sort them, but they don't sort in optimal ways. And so, there are some tickets about having better functionality. And just as an example of why this is a problem, if you sort by something like volume, I believe currently it sorts alphabetically rather than numerically. So you have that whole 1, 10, 11, 12, 2, 3, 4 kind of order. And in order to work around that, ViewFind just has to download all the item information and sort it internally rather than relying on Folio to give it things in the right order. And that doesn't scale so well when you have thousands of items. And then I guess number five, UX Prod 1625, is also related to this item ordering issue. I haven't looked at that one in a little while, but I'm guessing based on the name that this is about providing a way to just explicitly specify the order you want through the Folio backend so that what it sends to Discovery is more useful. I hope that was helpful.
That was extremely helpful, and just the level of detail we were looking for. It's interesting for me because item sorting, of course, is a hot topic. I know that it was, I believe, on the metadata management SIG's top five as well. And this list tracks very closely to a lot of things we've been talking about at Library of Congress. So it's really cool to see it reflected here. I see Thomas has some questions, and others, if you want to start like raising hands, we can get in line. Thomas, you want to ask your questions?
Sure, if I can find my mute button. mainly with two and three, I was thinking, I unfortunately I have not had a chance to fully read them, but were you thinking that those were for users that were already logged into the system to show the if the an item is requestable? And I'm assuming item renewable would also they would have to be logged in.
Precisely. I do understand that without knowing who is asking, you can't have a definitive answer, but just as an example, in ViewFind, we have a mechanism that sends the item ID and the patron ID, and then is supposed to return, is this renewable or not? But there's no Folio mechanism that we can plug in there to answer that question. But if an API existed, we could plug it right in, and ViewFind functionality would get a little nicer. And again, like renewable, you get a list of outstanding transactions. It would be great if there were data in there that just said, can these be renewed? How many times have these been renewed, et cetera?
I think number three would probably be fairly easy if the person is logged in. Number two, I'm worried because of how complex the request system is. That could get very tricky very quickly, especially if you have multiple items on a single holding record. Then you also have to deal with pickup locations and a whole bunch of other things, which could change whether or not they could actually request the item.
And I actually think what ViewFind is doing at present is we're asking what pickup locations are available for this item and this patron. And if we get no pickup locations back, we say, oh, well, then you can't request it, and we hide the button. So we're using that as sort of a halfway solution, but I don't think that necessarily captures all the nuance that is necessary.
Yeah. And then I was just saying with 4805 is I know the batch renewals has come up quite a bit, even in RA, just even for the UI. And one of the primary concerns with that one is how do you deal with overrides, which I know isn't part of wouldn't be part of ViewFind. So that one you won't have to worry about. But if renewals aren't allowed on an item or if there's an error that comes up, I think one of the things that would have to really be fleshed out is what data is returned and in what format, so that ViewFind and other discovery layers could ingest that and actually see what happened with, at the item by item level.
Exactly. And I think that that ticket actually has a proposal for how that could work, which comes from me and is maybe not well informed. I'd love to discuss and refine with somebody more experienced on the Folio side.
Yeah, that's all the questions I had.
Lost my, I don't know if I'm unmuted or not. There we go. I'm unmuted. Sorry. I was just about to pop the link in chat here to make sure that everyone pull it up because I copied some, I copied these links last minute and I had to just do it as text. So if you go to the actual community dashboard, you can get to the UX prods a little bit more easily. So if I can ask, let's see, do we have any other? Tammy, did you want to chime in or Charlotte? Otherwise, there's a couple questions that I wanted to ask just to help us think about this process. So one thing that came up in our early discussions about the dashboard was the status of UX prods and what it means for them to be prioritized. A few of these are in draft. So that means they're still being worked on, right? I know that some people felt strongly that we needed to push to get these UX prods out of draft before we took them to like a final list. Does hearing this presentation or talking through this change any of that for you?
Kind of as an add-on to that, I think our group in general has been a little, we're trying to understand the Jira process and what role we have versus what role the developers have. We're not a group with a product owner because, sometimes we see tickets and we're like, this is absolutely discovery related, but no one's ever talked to us about this ticket before, when new Folio things are created that need to be displayed or need to be searched or need to be included in discovery environments. So how does something go from draft to in progress, and what role does the SIG play in that?
We've got a couple POs on the call who might be able to speak to that, but this also might be a conversation to have with the POs group.
So I can kind of jump in quick. So draft is usually kind of, it's not ready for development. Once it's refined, then it goes into open. And that's when the devs will actually start looking at it and they'll actually refine it further. So the difference between draft and open is you have a general idea, but I was just saying, like with, and I unfortunately I haven't had a chance to read all of these, but like I'll use 4805 as an example, is you give a very clear explanation of what you want that API to do, what data you're looking for it to come back, what format you would like it to come in, if there's errors, how you would like those to handle. Basically, the more detail you can add in there, the better. Since you don't have a PO that is directly related to discovery, I think that what you could do is grab the POs that are most, or the PO or POs that are mostly directly related to the area within Folio that you're working on. So for instance, 4805, and I keep saying that because it's the first one in the list, so I'm not picking on any. It's just like the first one there, so my mind goes directly there. That would actually be Anne Ackerblad. She's over the requests part of Folio. So you could, once you feel that you think it should be moved to open, you could ping like her and say, hey, could you review this? Does this look like there's enough information here for it to be moved to an open status, which would then move into the possibility of going to the dev groups and being refined even further. Most like what happens then after it moves into open, the dev teams will pick it up. And their back end and front end developers will start looking at what you have spec'd out, and they'll actually refine it even more. They may come back and say, okay, well, what they're asking for here is not possible within Folio, but we can do it this way. And they'll actually start generating a whole bunch of other tickets, things like spikes, which are investigatory, which will is like, how can this fit in the system? What impacts will it have in the system? How could we do this in an ECS environment? How would this be done in a single tenant environment? And then they'll just start breaking down the separate tickets to actually figure out how much work it will take to finish the ticket. I'm not sure if that helps.
No, that's very helpful. So what you're saying is our next, the Discovery Six next step in this process is to look at everything that is draft and see if we can move that to open. And if you have this handy, great. Like, do you have a quick overview of this process, like, and a page with a list of the product owners? Because that has been hard for me. I sometimes find some of this information, but then it's like out of date or like it's from another SIG, and I'm like, I'm not sure. or this is from.
Go ahead, Charlotte. I see you're on.
Yeah, I can post here in the chat during the meeting a couple of links to where we have all that information gathered. We have a directory of POs, we have a description of the different states of JIRA tickets, etc., etc. So
Wonderful.
let me add that.
And then if there is no PO or we can't figure it out, who do I go to?
There is a list of, and I am. Are you, is that one of the pages you were going to link to as well, Charlotte? Is the PO and module responsibility list, or? Okay. Yeah, so there's a PO and module responsibility list, which will break down every single app within Folio and what the, who the responding PO is, or who the responsible PO is. So there is some parts of Folio that do not have a PO. So
Right. That's what I'm kind of, sometimes we run into that with our discussions.
in that case, you could ask the PO group and possibly like it is hard because if there's no PO for it, I'm not sure who would usher it through dev. So, but yeah, if you when you run to those, maybe the best one would be to probably ping the PO group as a whole and just say, hey, what would you like us to do with it? And let us try to kind of maybe figure out how to do it. There might be a PO that's free that'll pick it up as a one-off. But yeah, I don't think there's a clear answer to that one, unfortunately.
Okay, no, that's very helpful.
Great. This has been a really good conversation. I think that we've already kind of we've learned a lot about your priorities for discovery, but we've also learned a little bit about this process and what might be useful here. I think we talked some about the status of these JIRA tickets. It might actually be really helpful to get to do exactly what you've done. Prioritize some of these tickets that are still in draft so that we can shine some light on them and help get them to the point of being open. Any other questions before we wrap up?
I'd just like to say thank you. I think this is what we have been looking for a long time. So I appreciate the assistance.
Good. Well, if you guys have any additional feedback, like on the process and what we're doing here after we leave, it would be so helpful to have an open conversation about it. This is meant to be iterative and we're kind of feeling it out. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, folks. Let's move on to our next agenda item, which I think might be going back up to the meeting summary. Looking at the time, let's talk briefly about meeting summary and come back to SIG reports. So if anyone had a chance to read these notes ahead of the meeting, basically, we've had a lot of situations come up over the past month or so where people were confused about what SIGs meet when, who to contact, what different SIGs are talking about. I think it's actually true across the project for all of our standing meetings, but I wanted to start out here since this is, we are the SIG of SIGs. We have the ability and actually I think a need for a little bit more insight and structure with how we're working with SIGs. And so I wanted to propose creating a single meeting summary page using some of the inherent features within Confluence that can help us automate. I meant to pull up, but we can look at my little test page here. I can also pull up a page to show you how we do this at LC, if that would be helpful. All right. So there's a feature in Confluence called page properties. And the way it works with this page, it's a little macro that goes around a table that says these are the page properties. And if you apply them consistently over multiple pages, then you can report on them. And it's possible to do this without tagging the page. But if you do use a consistent label to tag the pages, then you can have multiple page properties reports going in the same space. So I put here on page properties some of the things that would be really helpful for me personally if I could pull up a page and see all of these different things about a specific group. Like this would be the name of group one. When they meet, a link to the meeting, how I can reach those folks on Slack. And these two are things I would really like to have. I realize they take a little bit more regular update. But in my dreams, there would be a place where I can easily see what some of the upcoming topics that SIGs or other meetings are going to be addressing, so that we could have a summary page like this. Come on, come on. So you see, I just updated this to name of group one. So this is pulling the page, anything in that page properties table. For anything that I've labeled with my meeting summary tag. So, what would you think about having a page like this for our community to track information about SIG meetings and ideally information about upcoming meetings?
Wow, I'd never seen that before.
It can be helpful. So I think the MVP of this is just getting probably this information right here. This is static, it doesn't really change. But if we can get commitment to sharing the upcoming meeting information, maybe links to the website or the wiki page that a specific group is using, that could be really helpful. So is there any other I guess first question is, realistically, do you think we can ask SIGs to add these page property data to their meeting pages? And second question is, do you think we can ask them to add upcoming meeting topics?
Yeah, that was kind of my question. What are the expectations of the SIGs in this? So we're saying we want to ask them to do this. I think we can try. I think we probably need to make it as lightweight as possible. But if it's can somehow, I'm wondering if it can somehow be, I don't know, if we could somehow make it tied in with however they normally prepare for their meetings, that would be ideal. But yeah, we can, I'm not sure when our next SIG conveners quarterly is. Maybe this is something we can talk to them about and get some feedback and figure out how we can make it work for them. But I think it's great. I think it's a great idea and the functionality is really cool.
Cool. I will check when the quarterly is. I think it's coming up. And so the reason I wanted to like kind of put push pause on the SIG reports conversation is because if you wanted, and Thomas, you're great minds, we could potentially incorporate something like that into a report too. There are lots of different ways I think to slice it. There are some trade-offs here. Like if we put a lot of data on this report, then it might become unwieldy. We could have a different page properties report where SIGs can just like add updates as they come up. That would be an option. Or we can keep these completely separate right now. Is that bringing up anything for anyone?
Charlotte has her hand up.
Oh, thank you so much. I have a hard time watching the chat sometimes, and I
Okay.
really shut up. That's helpful.
So when I am looking in old or looking for things that has been discussed, it's typically, an old topic, and it's not so much upcoming. And sometimes the upcoming meetings are planned with, for the MM6, sometimes a few hours in advance or something. So I think normally for going back and looking in the agenda and meeting minutes document, then it is because you are interested in a topic that has been discussed. So I think I would suggest that we at least then have a column for that. What was actually the topics being discussed, and maybe that's more interesting than the upcoming meetings.
So, Charlotte, the proposal is to add like a column to this that is
What was being discussed at that given meeting?
at the last like the last couple of meetings, or maybe your past
No,
meeting.
yeah, what was discussed at that given meeting time, the topic for that meeting? Because if you are going back and you want to follow up on, a topic being discussed in the resource access SIG, then sometimes it can be a bit complicated to go through all the meeting minutes and figure out, okay, when was, maybe you know it was discussed early in the year, but it can be January, February, March meeting minutes. You need to open, take a look. Was this meeting? No, close it again, open it again. So
I
that's
see. I
more
see what you're
interesting for
saying.
me than what is upcoming topics.
I think that there is a way to do that, and I need to just think about it for a second. Essentially, we want like an index of agenda topics from past meetings. Does that sound about right? Okay. I'm going to make a note, and I'm going to play with that. I off the top of my head, I'm not sure I can make it work with the page properties report, but I won't know that until I can play with it. This is kind of, it's a nice feature, but it's a little bit limited. And anyone else who wants to play with page properties report, page properties and page properties report are the two features that work together. Please feel free. Okay, so for now, make sure I got these action items right. So I'm going to check on the next SIG Conveners quarterly, which I think is in the next month. And actually, we could look at that in a moment.
Jennifer has a hand up.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah, I was just thinking, similar to Charlotte, for a meeting that, let's say, I need to attend, I'd rather go to that space and kind of make sure that in their space they have like the time of the meeting, the Zoom information and like the documents. So not so much upcoming topics. I think it's like with data import, we've just been advertising upcoming topics via Slack for those who want to attend. For past meetings, I mean, sometimes the meetings it's just we discussed these series of JIRAs, and like all our comments go into the JIRA. So I'm not sure how useful that is really. Because then it would just be, these are the jurors we discussed, go look at them somewhere else. And there's a lot of, I mean, we go back to what, 2020, 2021. So I'm wondering if we should actually see where we are in the prioritization project for the SIGs and then see if this also makes sense because we're it's going to be a lot of work to pull this off. Yeah, I think.
To pull the meeting report.
Well, to do for all the past meetings, just what the was agenda and all of that because it's not something we've done. So either we kind of start this going forward or how far do we go back?
Yeah, I agree. I think these are two separate proposals. So the meeting summary page to get just like a standard list of all of the meetings that are happening, when and connection information, that I think is actually a pretty light lift. Having a standard template that we can leverage that standardization to do some reporting off of, I think is a longer term goal that we can like start playing with. And like, I don't know exactly what that template would be yet, but we can start talking about it and what we want to do with it. We can be outcomes oriented. And once we kind of figure out what the vision for that is, we can start working with the SIGs. I think probably moving forward easier than we can do a retrospective project to get that stuff all into an old format is my thinking on it.
Yeah, I'm also wondering, like maybe we should prioritize what we want. I mean, I understand people are having trouble, getting oriented to, the big folio community. It's difficult. But can this also be done maybe through other means initially, where then we kind of like pinpoint, kind of the trends that come out of those orientations? Because I'm just thinking, because I know some SIGs, they still haven't, prioritized, done the real prioritization, and I'm just wondering, what do we want the SIGs to do first? What do we want to accomplish first? Because even this idea of, the community priorities, I was looking like the List app never put theirs on, even though I've been asking. So yeah, I am just wondering about our priorities. Like, what do we want to see done first, really?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I wonder if we're talking about things that would be helpful to see on a roll-up page. Would it be helpful to see the priorities, the top five on a roll-up page? So when you've got like a list of all of the SIGs and then the top five things that they're like ostensibly working on, right? Like if they're top five, we want to be channeling resources that way. Would it make sense to add that here so that it shows up on the big report? It would make it kind of a longer report.
Honestly, I think for me, I would like to see the all the priorities, the JIRA, hopefully JIRA issues of all the SIGs, and see which ones kind of are shared between the SIGs, and then if we could advocate for those with the PO group. So for me, whether there's a meeting happening or not, I mean, I that's not my first interest, of when a meeting happened. Or when it didn't. And I think I would ask the SIG. So if we had a question about a certain priority, then we would ask the SIG, when was this discussed? And they could help us, get that recording. But I'm not sure I'd want to spend our resources kind of trying to track that down in a report. But that's just my two cents.
Well, it sounds clear that we need to start with a minimum viable product here. So that's something that we can do. And we need to really be clear in what we're asking of the SIGs and kind of serialize those choices so that we're not throwing a lot of stuff at them at one time. And I think that that is something that we can achieve.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we need to kind of go back to that document that Kristen started saying, like, what is our product? And do we actually meet those criteria? I forget, was it, I forget the name of it.
A vision document?
Yeah, I think it was a vision document. And she structured it kind of like, what Marshall Breeding was doing for his, ILS reports.
It is here somewhere. What is it? Is it on a roadmap? I was just looking at it.
I thought the one we were looking at was still in a Google Doc.
I
Oh,
don't
you're
know
right.
that it.
I don't think it had made it. This was one that she had, an old doc she had updated, and then we all looked at it in the Google Doc version, and then we were going to follow up on it maybe in preparation for WolfCon and talk about it at WolfCon. That is my recollection. Does that sound
I thought she
great
did put it
segue?
on. I
Oh, maybe
put
she
the
didn't.
link there and it was last updated on April 10th, 2025. But yeah, maybe you're right.
No,
Yeah,
there
I
was a
don't
newer
know.
one. There was a newer one.
Okay.
Let me find it. So this is a great segue to something else that we're not going to spend 15 minutes on, but just a quick discussion, like introduce the topic of doing a vision workshop. So we wanted to take that document that Kristen was working on and also some of the conversations that have popped up here about product vision for Folio and what the PC's role is in defining and communicating a product vision. Alexis and I, kind of in evaluating all of this, had suggested that this would be a good way to structure our annual WolfCon meeting. So I think that looking at time today. This is something that we'll have to take up in 2 weeks when we're back together. But I wanted to just right now do a call for volunteers. If anyone would be interested in helping to plan the vision workshop and be part of, I think we're probably going to do some asynchronous work ahead of WolfCon to make sure that we could be effective with that time. That would be really helpful.
Yeah,
So you can
I can help.
Excellent. Thanks, Alexis.
So just to answer the quick question for Lisa, they're the shoulder meetings, so they're on Friday. So typically in the morning, each council meets separately, and then the afternoon there's kind of a tri-council. Though I don't think it matters if the tri-council is the morning or the afternoon, but those are all on Friday, and I think they're going to be held at the University of Missouri Library, I believe.
Thank
But
you
I'd
so
have to,
much. Sorry, I was coming through and I could not find that.
yeah. And I can help a bit with the visioning statement too.
Thank you.
Did Jesse, I thought Jesse had said that they were going to try to put the shoulder meetings on the schedule. Did that get done? Do you know?
I don't think so. I can put them on the schedule.
That's probably a good idea. I suspect he's probably a little distracted.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Yeah. Are we sure that the morning is dedicated to each product council? It's a 9 to 11, something like that, right?
We're going to invert it, and I can check with the tri-council chairs just to make sure that we have finalized that decision.
Okay.
But I believe the plan is to do tri-council in the morning since we have a lot
Okay.
of kind of critical topics, and then we can kind of break up and discuss.
Okay, all right. Once you confirm, just send me a DM and I'll put those into SCED for us.
Thank you so much, Jennifer.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. So next week is going to be Tri-Council. We won't be having PC. The week after, we need to pick up and talk a little bit more about vision. We have some housekeeping. Jeremy and I have kind of like a housekeeping backlog that we need to pull a couple more things from. And we can also talk about planning for our SIG conveners quarterly and talking about the meeting summary page. I will follow up on the Mosaic status endorsement on Slack once we have all of those votes. Anyone who has feedback on the template or agenda, hit me up on Slack. Based on the conversation that we had today, does anybody have ideas for things that you would want to include in a newsletter?
Do we want to
Like,
put the Mosaic endorsement? Is that the sort of thing we want to add to a newsletter? Is that newsletter
it could be.
worthy?
Yeah, just let people know that this is new functionality that's coming, that's first by the PC. I think that'd be great.
I think we should write. I think it would be a good idea to write like that, have that be like a whenever we endorse something, we should put it in the newsletter.
So we'll do a Mosaic endorsement, also maybe like an update on what's going on with the community priorities dashboard, wherever we are with that.
Caitlin, has there already been an announcement about the new PC forming and that we are doing this kind of work that
Good
we did
point.
today, like housekeeping, getting everyone up to speed and everything like that?
That would be a really good point. Yeah, to let people know that we have new members, that we've had a lot of rollover, and what we're focused on.
So I really like the idea about presenting all our new members, and but we probably need to be careful not to be bringing up too much information, like housekeeping stuff, because that's so internal. And so, and we need to, when doing a newsletter, you always need to have in mind your target group, and that would be, the libraries in general and the staff at libraries, and they are probably not so much interested in, nitty-gritty, the PC, how to structure our work, etc. But the priorities we can mention, the new members, I think is fine, but maybe not so much about something, you know, if it's very internal, then it's not for
great.
General.
That's a very good point, Charlotte. And what I actually meant with that is that that we have a new PC, and I'm not up for a profile pic of me showing up there or something like that. That's not what I meant at all. I just wanted to say, hey, we are new PC and we are forming right now. And not how we are forming, but that we do that. And yeah. Good okay. point.
So we'll include those in the prototype. And when the Tri-Council chairs talk about that, we can kind of use that as an example of what we would include in a newsletter so we can decide how to move forward with that. Thank you, everyone.
Bye, thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Take care.